Well, this morning, I would like for you to please turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to be spending a good bit of time here in Philippians. The last 3-4 weeks or so, we've been considering, really, sort of in my heart anyway, what I consider to be some basic truths, basic things that are fundamental to the walk, fundamental if we're going to, manifest in our lives that which our Heavenly Father desires for us. You know, things like reverence. You know, recognizing God for who He is, being very aware of how you feed your heart, and that's really important, and it's going to be more important as time goes on this year. You need to take care of your heart. You need to take care of what you're feeding on. We heard in manifestations, letting go of anger and bitterness. And a lot of the stuff in this world is designed to cause that. That really blessed me. Because, man, that can be subtle stuff where, you know, you're all of a sudden you're walking around with a little bit of anger, a little bit of bitterness, you know, because of some things that maybe you're seeing or whatever it is. The bottom line is the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. We're His people. And that's it. And I don't care how weird or loud things get. We're God's people. We looked at a record sometime back when the children of Israel were led captive into Babylon. And Daniel got that vision of the cherubim and the Holy One leaving the temple and coming to where they were captive in Babylon. That's something to care for His people. So this stuff is real, and God is real. And, you know, the relationship that He desires for us, He is love. And it certainly blesses God, but believe me, it'll bless us more. It really will. You know, these things that we're going to read about this morning in Philippians, these things are absolutely available. This is what God desires for each one of us. And it takes a little discipline. It does. It does. It takes a little discipline. You know, spend a little time in His Word. Spend a little time praying. You know, it's easier said than done, right? Because, boy, the world's always nipping at the heels, just life and stuff and kids and this and whatever, you know, other things that you're involved in. So it involves a certain amount of discipline to prioritize some of these things, but it's so worth it. It really is. It's so worth it. So with that very light and tender introduction, Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to read verse 1. We're actually going to come back to this in a few moments because I do want to share some of the context. But it opens with, Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown. And it says, stand fast in the Lord. Again, my dearly beloved. To understand that therefore, you know, to therefore stand fast in the Lord, we're going to go back just a little bit in the context. It's sort of neat, and it helps to understand this. Chapter 3, It opens with a warning regarding those who focus on and put their confidence in the flesh, which is a theme in Philippians. To put your confidence in the flesh. And in chapter 3, Paul then walks through his really impressive fleshly, you know, background, his resume, right? Resume is a good word. His credentials. And when it's all done, he deems them but dung. Isn't that something? In comparison to knowing Christ, to really knowing Christ and who he is in Christ and what he has in Christ. None of that stuff means anything. Or anything to do with his own righteousness. The only thing that matters is that righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. Let's go to verse 10 of chapter 3. We're going to read a few of these verses. It says in verse 10, that I may know him. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And the fellowship or the full sharing of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. This is a real knowing or understanding of what it is to be made conformable unto his death. This echoes what we read back in Romans chapter 6. When he died, we what?
Died
with him. See, that's total identification. That's total identification with the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the things that the adversary is so often successful in is identity theft. Robbing you of who you are in Christ. Talking you out of who and what you are in Christ and the total identity that you have with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's how God sees us. And that's how God wants us to see ourselves. And that's what Paul pursued. Isn't that something? That I would know, conformable unto his death. You know, it says in Galatians, I was crucified with him. And the world was crucified unto Paul. Isn't that something? So these are realities that we want to know, that we want to understand. In Colossians chapter 3, and you guys all know this verse. Our life is hid where?
In Christ, in God.
Isn't that something? That's where our life is hid. See? And then it goes on in verse 11, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead or lay hold of. Not as though I had already laid hold of it or arrived there. Either we're already perfect. That word perfect here is something that's fully accomplished. Well, I'll finish here. But I follow or pursue after, if that I may lay hold of that for which also I have been laid hold of by who?
Christ Jesus.
By Christ Jesus. See? I belong to him. I am one with him. That's how God sees us, and that's how we want to see ourselves. And then it says, brethren, I count not myself to have laid hold of this or apprehended it, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind or reaching forth unto those things which are what? Ahead of me. See? I press toward the mark or the goal of the prize of the upward calling. Isn't that something? Here's the great apostle Paul, who received amazing revelation. And he was pursuing that growth in Christ Jesus, where he could be made and understand even to a greater degree what it means to have died with Christ and what it means to have been raised with Christ. You know, somebody mentioned this in a prayer. To walk, to help us or you know, teach us or whatever it was, to walk in that newness of life. That's what Romans 6 lays out. And these are things that Paul was pursuing and encouraging these wonderful saints to pursue. And you know what the kicker is? He's in prison. He's writing this from prison. Isn't that something? Then it says, brethren, be followers together of me, or imitators together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. Now, there's a little parenthetical phrase here, and it addresses some things, and we'll come back to this. It addresses some things that were addressed in to the Philippians. There were those who were causing strife, those who were promoting self. There was some of that going on. There was thinking contrary to Christ. There were those who were putting their confidence in flesh. Right? It's pretty remarkable. So what he is saying is, look, you know, mark, be an imitator of me, and mark those which walk like that. See? Then it says, for many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, they are enemies of the cross of Christ. Isn't that something? What he accomplished. See? Whose end? And this is interesting. Whose end is what?
Destruction.
Whose God is their belly, meaning self, pretty much. Whose glory is in their shame. Who mind or think what? It started with the end. Started with the very end thing. So to understand this, you need to read it backwards. It starts with thinking what? Earthly things. And that's something? That's where it starts, in the thinking. See? Then it works its way. Where you land at self, and in the end, you know, you're not walking really who you are in Christ. And not helping many others to do it either. Then it says, verse 20, for our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we also look or wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is sort of getting us to the therefore in verse 1. This citizenship, and it comes up in chapter 1 too, this really was something that communicated, because very briefly, Philippi was founded as a Roman colony specifically designed for the military veterans of Rome to live in. They had all the rights of a, as if they were in Rome itself. Even though they were in the middle of Macedonia, they had all the rights of Rome. Isn't that something? And what Paul is saying, and that was a big deal. That was a big deal to be a Roman citizen in this time. And what Paul is saying is, our citizenship is in where? Is heaven. Just as these saints, being Roman citizens, were living in the middle of a foreign territory, so are we, as citizens of heaven, living in the world. See? But our rights are based where? In heaven. See? That's what's being communicated here. Isn't that beautiful? And it says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we also look, wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile or humiliated or shamed body, that it may be fashioned, meaning having the same form, like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, long for my joy and crown. Stay put. That's what it's saying. Stay put. That's what stand fast means. We just stay put. We're going to come right back here in a moment. I want you to turn to chapter 1 of Philippians. And I just want to show you where this stand fast is used closer to the opening of this great epistle. In verse 27 of Philippians 1, it says, "Only let your conversation," and it means, again, it's citizenship. It's to live as a citizen. "Let your lives as a citizen be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, and that you stand fast." That's that same word, stand fast, to stay put. You're not going anywhere. "In one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith," or the believing, "of the gospel." Isn't that something? You know, this striving together, it's athleo, it's soon, meaning together. But that athleo it's a kind of a nod or a reference to the athletic games, but it's not against one another, as in an athletic contest. It is to compete together as one team for the believing of the gospel. Isn't that beautiful? It's just such a beautiful mind picture. It's like a wrestling team, you know? That wrestle, but it's wrestling as a team. See? Helping, supporting one another with one goal. And here is the believing of the gospel. And that would be the gospel regarding Jesus Christ. There's nothing better to strive for. Then it says, "And in nothing, terrified or intimidated by your adversaries, which is to them an evident," a demonstration, see, an evident token of perdition or of their destruction. It's a demonstration of their destruction. Isn't that something? We're not intimidated by our adversaries. And I'll tell you what, this starts with thinking. This is heart stuff we're reading here. This is relationship with God that we're reading about. Because the world, it gets loud. It's loud. It just does. And so we want to have these things set in our heart. We'll read a little bit more about this in a minute. "But in nothing terrified, intimidated by our adversaries, but to you of deliverance, salvation, and that of God." Isn't that beautiful? Now I want you to turn back to Philippians chapter 4. So that sort of sets the context for the therefore in verse 1. "So therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, stand fast," you stay put in the Lord. Then it says, "I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel." Okay, so I'm just going to stop here for a moment. These women that are mentioned, Euodias and Syntyche, were believers. They were women who had labored together. You know what that word is? It's to strive together with Paul. It's the same words as we read in 1. We strive together for the gospel, for the believing of the gospel. Well, they strove together with Paul. And for some reason, they were not of the same mind anymore. Perhaps it was a quarrel between those two. Perhaps it was a disagreement of some kind. But what's interesting is there's no side taken here. Because really, who cares in the great scheme of things? The solution was, be of the same mind in who? In the Lord. That's get your thinking up. So often, that's what we deal with. Get our thinking up. And that's what we're going to see in this as we continue to read these next few verses, is to get our thinking up. See? Colossians 3 talks about this. All over the Word of God, all over the epistles, we're encouraged to think these things, to get our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. See? Be of the same mind in the Lord. That's big picture stuff. We just read concerning our hope. He's going to change our vibe. That's big picture stuff. The adversary, the world, is designed to get you on the small picture stuff. On the little things. Oh, what am I going to do? I don't know. I don't like this about me. I don't like that about me. And we've all dealt with that, right? We all deal with it. That's the flesh. You know, and it doesn't get easier as you get older. Believe me.
It's harder.
What you get better at is bringing your mind around to God's word. See? So, it's pretty awesome. Anyway. So, you had these two women. True yoke fellow, help them. Help those women which labored with me, strove together with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. This is pretty cool. It's the only place this phrase book of life is used other than the book of Revelation. Isn't that neat? And it is a nod to the custom of maintaining, you know, genealogies, families that was done, and they would keep these books. Here it is a book of those with eternal life. Isn't that beautiful? What a beautiful picture. It's like, I'm registered. There's my name. I got eternal life. Yeah. Tracy, there you are. Oh, Lily, look it. You got eternal life. Your name's written down. When I read this, I think about Galatians where it says, it talks about knowing God, and then it says, better yet, you're known of God. Isn't that something? God knows who you are. That's just... Then it says, with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. And then verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say what?
Rejoice.
And this is one of those themes in this book of Philippians. Rejoicing can't be based on circumstances. If I allow my joy to be based on circumstances, then I am not of one mind. I am not looking at Jesus Christ. I am not identifying with Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? That rejoicing, it is a... There's a depth. It's a happiness, but not in the sense that we commonly understand it. You know, that makes me happy. You know, that's a senses thing. And I understand there's nothing wrong with that. But this is an inside thing. This is an insight. This is something nothing touches. See? Because my Lord's coming back. Because I'm in him. Because I'm a citizen of heaven. That no matter what's going on, I can go to my Heavenly Father. I can walk with him. I got his spirit in me. He works in me to will and to do of his good pleasure. Isn't that something? I belong to him. Rejoicing. It's really something to think about. And when I read this, you know, and I've shared this with you guys before, but I think about some of the things that men have gone through. You know, men who were believers, men who belonged to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this was for them too. You know, men can do horrible things to other men. But there's a rejoicing that comes from knowing what we have in Christ and knowing where this thing is all going to land. That's the big picture stuff. And those are the kinds of things we want to build in our hearts. You know, where we get a little rattled, just doesn't last real long. We get our feedback, right? Sometimes that happens. It's where you land. So rejoice in the Lord. And this also is specifically in the context of Philippians, this is a great help in dealing with the different ways of thinking that are addressed in the book of Philippians. You know, things like self, things like strife, you know, some of the different things that were addressed, the different ways of thinking. And it's going to continue with this. Rejoicing is a big key to that. Then it says in verse 5, let your moderation, it's a beautiful word, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. That word moderation is, you're not demanding your just rights. There's a gentleness to it. There's just a stepping aside. It's an active, graciousness, hospitality, where you're really considerate of others. You're aware of others, what their needs may be, regardless of what yours might be. Isn't that something? And it's an active thing. It's what we are. Why? Because the Lord is what?
Good.
At any moment, the Lord Jesus Christ could come back. See? And so that's what living in light of the hope looks like. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that simple? And that's big picture stuff. That's relationship stuff. You know? When you know, we build that relationship with our Heavenly Father. You know, the demanding of our just rights not only is something that we work not to do, it becomes something that's a little bit repugnant. Yeah. Because you're building that relationship with your Heavenly Father. You're building who you are in Christ. And those are the things that are foremost. Those are the things that are most important. There are other things important in life. I understand that. But this is like baseline right here. Who we are in Christ, our God, and where we're headed. You know, a great example of this is, we don't need to turn there, but in chapter 1, real quick, was Paul. Paul himself. Greatest example is Jesus Christ. But, you know, Paul was in prison. And I don't know if you remember how this church of Philippi was founded, but Paul took a pretty good beating. Do you remember that? Yeah. They threw him in prison after they beat him. Then the earthquake, jailkeeper. What do? House gets saved, bada bing, bada boom. Right? Mm-hmm. Well, here he's in prison, and in chapter 1, he talks about those preaching Christ, and some are preaching Christ out of a heart of love. Some are preaching Christ out of strife, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, to cause me hurt. Some are preaching Christ out of contention, other different things. But you know, Paul was like, I'm going to rejoice. Christ is preached. Isn't that beautiful? That's big picture thinking. See? He had his eyes where they needed to be. He was just a beautiful example of this kind of thinking that we're reading about here. Verse 6. Verse 6. And this is a verse we all know, right? Be anxious for nothing. Okay? This word anxious, you most of you know. But really, its emphasis on being, overly anxious, overly concerned about a thing. It comes from a word that means divided in mind. And here it's used in a negative sense. There are places where this word is used regarding saints having the same care one for another. That's this word too. You know, where you're genuinely concerned. But it's not to where it takes you out. See, and we'll see how that's done. Be overly anxious for nothing, or overly concerned for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. By prayer and supplication. Prayer is a powerful, powerful thing. Prayer is something that is very clear from the Word of God is necessary. And when you think about it, you as a citizen in heaven, of heaven, in a foreign country, so to speak, we're in the world, we're not of it, you lay claim as a citizen of heaven with your prayer. You, with your prayer, unleash God's power. And it is probably one of the more difficult things to discipline yourself to. Just prayer. Spending time in prayer. And when I think of prayer, there was a time when I thought of prayer, and it does, it's making specific requests, and that's a part of prayer. That is absolutely a part of prayer. Shows up in Ephesians 6, too. But prayer is a partnership with God. Have you ever prayed for God to work on your heart what to pray for? That's really an awesome thing to do. It's really cool. It's like, okay. Where it's just, boy, something's on your heart or somebody's on your heart. That's building that kind of relationship. These are just practical things. Sometimes when I'm going to spend time in prayer, I just need to let go, unless it's like first thing in the morning. Even then sometimes. But sometimes I'll just sit and I'll just speak in tongues out loud. And it just gets my, I got God's spirit. I'm his son. I just, and that's praying. Oh, that's praying. I can't mess that one up, right? And then, you know, I just get quiet, just start praying. You know, and maybe there are some things that I see as a need, maybe. And sometimes it's just, Father, show me what to pray for. You know? And that kind of relationship, but it takes a little time. It takes a little discipline, you know, where you need to set aside that kind of time. And these are just practical things that we can do, you know, just to help build these things. And then it says, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And thanksgiving is such a big key. Again, it speaks to what it is you're looking at. Let your requests be made known unto God. Then it says, in the peace of God, and it should read the peace from God. The peace from God, which passes all understanding or all ways of thinking. It's beyond it. The peace that comes from God is beyond all ways of thinking. And it will guard, that peace from God will guard, it'll protect. It's used in military terms in the word. It's to guard or to protect your hearts and thinking through Christ Jesus. Miss something? You know, this is the verse I wanted to get to, because we've been looking at some things regarding the heart. We've been looking at some things regarding thinking and words and so on. These are basic truths. But that prayer with thanksgiving, it guards, it protects our hearts and our thinking. Give it to the Father. Give it to the Father with thanksgiving. And then it says, verse 8, and this is where we're going to close. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honorable, whatsoever things are just or equitable or right, whatsoever things are pure, means it's unmixed. It's unmixed. Whatsoever things are lovely. Isn't that a beautiful word? Lovely. It means pleasing. Whatsoever things are lovely, pleasing. Whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall what? Be with you. He's the God of peace. That's something. So, you know, these things, we can, you know, and sometimes it's difficult. I understand that. I'm not an idiot. I've seen a couple of things. But we can decide what we want to think. And sometimes that's more challenging than at other times. I understand that. Sometimes it's something that's just big. Sometimes when you're faced with something that's, you know, apparently big, you just got to start out going to the Father and you're wrestling. You are anxious. That's okay. Go to the Father. See? Take it to Him. You know? Isn't that simple? Isn't that wonderful? He works. That's what He does. He works. See? So these are things we want to, you know, just be aware of. Things that we want to think about and things that we want to help one another with. And don't be afraid to help one another with these things. And if you don't know what to do, ask God. You know? And boy, if there's something that you can do, something you can bless, some way you show you, He's good at that. He's a professional. Don't try this at home unless he tells you to. All right?
Oh, good.
So,
Lord.